Do you remember the Susan B. Anthony dollar? You know, the one that looked like a quarter?
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Precisely. Today on Scandi Bible Church Podcast, Elder Keith Barker opens the Bible and draws our attention to a problem in America today. A lack of holiness. Too often the church looks so much like the world that those that are unsaved see no need to consider the claims of Jesus on their own lives. To them, they all look like quarters, but they're really dollars. They don't stand out because they're lacking holiness. If by the saving grace of Jesus Christ you are now considered a dollar, act like one. Because as he clearly commands, be holy, for I am holy. And welcome to the Scandi Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, August 12th, 2018. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandibiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, Holiness.
I know your first thought is, Keith must have a fiery sermon for us today. He's bringing his own fire extinguisher. But, I was reflecting on how many years, with amazement, that I've been in ministry. My first message here was 1974. A bunch of you weren't even alive then. Over the years, I've worked with various groups who see Scripture different than the way we do here at Scandi Bible Church. I've worked with the Assembly of God Church, Pentecostals, wonderful people, love the Lord. We're going to spend eternity together, but we do have some different ideas about areas of Scripture. I worked on my master's degree through Pepperdine University in California, and they are Assembly of Christ, Assembly of God, and wonderful Christian folks. They also have some different views of Scripture than we do. We're all going to spend eternity together, but I thought this morning I would try to clarify on those two groups, and there are many others as well who have a view different than ours. I need something to represent God this morning in my illustration, and I decided a nice new white candle would probably be appropriate. And we'll get it fired up. There we go. So there we have our representation of God in his holiness, in his beauty, in his sovereignty. I like it. Now we need something to represent the absolute depravity of man. And who better than me? So here I am, and for the sake of the podcast, I'm hanging on the rail about 15 feet from the candle. So here I am representing the absolute depravity of man. Lost, having no hope, heart deceitful and desperately wicked. And those other groups that I mentioned, the first two groups, they believe that though we are born separated from God in absolute darkness, not a speck of spiritual life within us, they believe that that person would at some time in their life, young or old, reach out to God. And they believe that at that time God reaches back for them and takes their hand. And he invites them into the kingdom. He anoints them with his Holy Spirit. He pronounces that their sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. They are born again. They are saved. Their name is written in the book of life. Loved by the God of the universe. Well, interesting enough, those people have another view that having been called, having called upon God and been accepted, that at some time in the future, a week, a month, 50 years, whatever, they might get called into the office and God says, you know, I've been reviewing your resume, not real impressed. It seems like a mistake has been made. I never should have called you. And so I'm going to withdraw my Holy Spirit from you. I'm going to restore upon you all the sins that you ever have committed or ever will commit. I'm erasing your name from the book of life, and I'm casting you out of the kingdom. That's what those people believe, that you can lose your salvation. It's a very strange thing. What do we believe here at Scandia? Well, let's take another scenario. Here again, we have our wonderful, holy God in his sovereignty. And again, an excellent example of the depravity of man. So am I here within arm's length of God? No further away than that. How about over here in the doorway? Is this farther enough away to represent how far depraved man is from God? No. How about if I go over here in this room full of sinners? Don't be offended. Everybody in the building's a sinner. I'm way over here by the wall. Is this far enough away? No. How about across Puget Sound to Seattle? How about across the United States to the Atlantic Ocean? How about if we go across the Atlantic and off the edge of the earth, past the moon, and out into the blackest, darkest corner of the universe? Now we're talking. That's how far the holy God is separated from depraved humanity. Out there, again, with no hope, without Christ in the world, not a speck of spiritual life, hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked. And you say, but Keith, what's the chance of that person way out there ever reaching over to get a hold of the sovereign God? Well, the chances are zero. You see, the sovereign God, again, using myself as an illustration, at some time with his foreknowledge, he looked into the future and said, Keith, at 12 years of age, when you're here at a daily vacation Bible school, as the Spirit of God works through Jean Hansen, who was a missionary home from South America, as she presented the truth of the gospel, that I was a sinner and that Christ died even for me. And at that time, I said, I believe God gave me the gift of faith. I prayed and confessed myself a sinner and surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ at age 12. Then God takes me into the kingdom and said, Keith, you're born again. I've adopted you. I've forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future. You're my child. You're going to be with me forever. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will in no wise cast them out. We believe in eternal security. Once God puts his hand upon you, anoints you with your spirit, you are saved. I am his and he is mine, as we say in the song. All right, those two scenarios. So what if in the first scenario, this group of people elevate the depravity of man and humanity, and they diminish God. We present God, we present man, he's got nothing to offer, but we elevate God in his holiness and sovereignty. Well, with that introduction, we're going to talk about the holiness of our wonderful God this morning. I'm going to be in the book of 1 Peter. I'm not even going to tell you the page number because you should be able to find it. Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation, about four books from Revelation. 1 Peter. Da, 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 da. A while back, a Forbes poll was taken, and they asked this question. They had boxes you could check. They said, what would you most like to be known for? Would you like to be known for being intelligent? You want to check that box? You want to be known for being beautiful or handsome? You want to be known for having a great sense of humor? Curiously enough, more than 50% of the people checked the box that said they'd like a reputation for being authentic. Ha! Surprised me. In other words, I don't want someone to think I'm counterfeit. If you're a Christian, folks, you should look like a Christian and you should act like a Christian. Be authentic in your character, your conduct, your conversation. Some of you may remember the Susan B. Anthony dollar. Years back, some brainiac in our government said, you know, those paper dollars, we have to keep shredding them and printing them. You know, they get all wrinkled, and so we have to just get rid of them and print more, and it costs money every time we do that. So they said, we have this great idea. We're going to make a dollar coin that's just a little bit bigger than a quarter. Won't that be wonderful? Well, not too wonderful. You see, vending machines have no slot for a coin a little bigger than a quarter. All the tills in businesses don't have a tray for a coin that's a dollar. And so, after 3 years of pushing and spending an awful lot of money promoting it, the government finally said, you know, the Susan B. Anthony dollar wasn't a good idea. The problem, it looked too much like a quarter. People didn't like the confusion. In the public's mind, a dollar needed to look like a dollar, not 25 cents. And what the world wants from us, God demands from us, if you're a Christian, look like a Christian, act like a Christian. And God says in no uncertain terms here in 1 Peter, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God has both called us to be holy and commanded us to be holy. And lest I spend the next hour filling the world, the room with sound, would you pause with me for a word of prayer? Father, we offer the time to you. These are glorious truths from your word. And I ask, Father, that this time might have eternal value, that you'll touch a life this morning and allow them to realize the wonder of your holiness for your glory. Not every Christian has been called to preach. Not every Christian has been called to be a missionary. Not every Christian has been called into a vocational ministry, but every Christian has been called to be holy, no exceptions. And let's be honest, far too many people in churches are, as it were, deaf to the call and dead to the command. Someone has defined American Christianity as being 3,000 miles wide and a half inch deep. Some people like to wear crosses around their necks. They throw God's name around in conversation. Oh, God bless you. Who are you to tell anybody? Who are you to tell God to bless anybody or do anything else? There's a dollar here on the floor. Look at that. Some people put slogans on their car and a little fish. I'm a Christian. But in recent polls show that many self-described evangelical Christians are marching in lockstep with mainstream American culture. When it comes to divorce, you realize there's almost as many divorces in the church as there is in the world. Materialism, racism. In the eyes of many people, there's a cloud of darkness that hangs over the church today. Da, da, da. Let me ask all of us a fair question. How do you know you have truly received salvation? Well, it all depends on how you respond to the salvation that you received. I'll explain that as we go along. This morning we'll learn that the real result of real salvation is holiness. Now in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13, the real result of real salvation is holiness. And Peter begins his paragraph on holiness with these words. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 13. The word therefore, of course, clues us in that he's referring back to what he had said previously in verses 1 through 12. And in 1 through 12, he's talking about salvation. Simply put, Peter says, before you leave earth, salvation gives you a hope of heaven. After you leave earth, salvation gives you a home in heaven. And between the hope and the home, our life is to be marked by holiness. And that begs the question, what does it mean to be holy and how do you become holy? Well, the answer is going to be different than what many of you might think. First, to be holy, we must be connected to a holy God. Listen carefully to verses 15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you be holy, for I am holy. Immediately here, we are clued in that this is not an ordinary run-of-the-mill kind of worldly holiness. This is a God kind of holiness. Listen carefully. The holiness that God demands from us is a holiness that only God can give us. God is not only why we are to be holy, he is the way we are to be holy. He just doesn't say, be holy, and then leave it up to us to decide what holiness looks like. He says, be holy because I am holy. And any holiness that we have must be derived from God, because apart from God, holiness is impossible. You know why? Only God is truly holy. There's a theological term for holiness that you're all familiar with, the word sanctification. To sanctify something means to set something apart for a special purpose. That's exactly what holiness is. Holiness is anything that is set apart for the honor and glory of God. But here's the rub. Sanctification is impossible apart from salvation. There are various religions that say they have holy men of God. Well, apart from Jesus Christ, you can neither be a man of God or holy. The key to holiness is being connected to the God of holiness. And you can only be connected to this God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said very clearly, no man comes to the Father but by me. The key to holiness is that connection. Holiness is like electricity. If I turn this light, it's off. It's not shining anymore. It's not connected to the electricity. Holiness is like that. When you plug into a holy God, his holiness empowers you. You understand what that means? That means that holiness is not a matter of religion. You can go to church and never miss a Sunday and still not be holy. Holiness is not a matter of righteousness. You can be good, kind, sweet, generous, honest, and an Eagle Scout and still not be holy. Holiness is not a matter of ritual. You can be baptized, take communion, light candles, and pray 5 hours a day and still not be holy. Holiness is a matter of relationship. This is where the world and many Christians totally miss holiness and misunderstand holiness. Holiness is not what you do for God, it is what God does through you. Holiness has nothing to do with our style of worship or the name on our church. It has nothing to do with whether Baptist is in our name, whether we have Sunday night church, whether I preach in a three-piece suit or a polo shirt, whether our music is traditional, contemporary, or blended. We've done all of that. It is a tragedy, the amount of fellowship and friendships that are broken because of people having an extra biblical standard of what a church ought to be. Quite frankly, what this holier-than-thou attitude is just our 21st century form of pharisaical legalism. And I confess I fall into that at times. They don't do it our way, they must be wrong. Well, Keith, grow up. The one divine attribute above all others that God wants to share with his children is his holiness. God is omnipotent. The word power there, potent. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful, but he doesn't ask us to be all powerful. God is omniscient. The word science there, knowledge, omniscience, omniscience. God has all knowledge, but he doesn't ask us to have all knowledge. God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere, all the time, continually. But he doesn't ask us to be omnipresent. But he does say, be holy, for I am holy. And for that to happen, we must be connected to a holy Lord. Next, we must be consumed with a holy love, 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. Lust and desires are internal, and that tells us that holiness is not just what we receive from above, but it's what we experience from within. Holiness is not just external, it is internal. Remember, in the ultimate sense, only God is truly holy. And when he tells us to be holy as he is holy, he's not telling us to be God, but he is telling us to be so connected to him that his holiness, which is fed from above, also flows from within. We should be holy because we've been converted by God and we are connected to God. And contrary to what the world thinks, holiness is not primarily external, it is internal. Realize that the first thing God does for a new believer is interior decorating and remodeling. You know, I have a carpenter friend who does remodeling. People will call him in and say, we want a bigger bathroom. We want a nicer kitchen. We want to knock holes in the wall and put windows there. Remodeling. And after that's done, we go to interior decorating. God does it the same way. Starts out doing remodeling, and after he gets those big things squared away, he says, now we're going to do some interior decorating. I can't think of a better description of what God does to us, with us, through us, in us, and for us after we're saved than interior decorating. I spent about a year in New Zealand avoiding hurricane season in the South Pacific, attended a big church, Otamotai Baptist Church. One day, an elderly couple at church invited me to their home for lunch. I don't remember their names, but I remember their cat's name was Thomas. I'm a cat guy. Lovely cat. These folks, I don't know, I thought them elderly at the time. Now that I'm 75, I don't know what elderly means. But she was precious, silver-haired, you know, one of those saintly little old ladies. And she shared her testimony with me. She said, Keith, I was saved late in life. The first thing that God did was to clean up my filthy mouth. I thought, what? What? I can't imagine this lady saying, oh, shucks. Interior decorating. The Bible talks about the outer man and the inner man. Outer man is the body, outer man is the body, and the inner man is the spirit. The body changes and the body decays and the body dies, but the rest of you, the real man, is what is going to live forever. And God wants that inner man to be holy. 5 times the Bible refers to the beauty of holiness. 3 of those 5 times we are told to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles 16, Psalm 29, Psalms 96. It's obvious that God is not talking about an external beauty. He's talking about an internal beauty. Can I just honestly tell you that too many of us are far too concerned with external decorating and not concerned enough with internal decorating? Nothing wrong with jogging, exercising, watching our weight, or wearing makeup, but God's a lot more concerned about what we look like on the inside than what we look like on the outside. When people walk into church, the way we look at them is totally different than the way God looks at them. We look at what they're wearing. Women look at their shoes for some reason. Look at their hairstyle, their jewelry, but God looks at the heart. Think about it. The real beauty of a house is what it looks like, not on the outside, but what it looks like on the inside. That's where you live. And God's headquarters of holiness is not the head nor the hands, but it's your heart. And the holiness that we express on the outside is simply to be an outflow of the holiness that God influences on the inside. And when God's holiness penetrates a heart, we will not only have a love, but we will have a holy love, because even our love is to be holy. You know what holy love is? Holy love loves what God loves and hates what God hates. A holy love loves sinners, but it hates sin. A holy love loves homosexuals, but hates homosexuality. Loves adulterers, but hates adultery. It loves Republicans, but it hates... No, don't go there, Keith. When you're consumed with a holy love, you'll be so repulsed by any sin, big or small, that you can't stand the sight or smell of it. We become committed to a holy life. Verse 15 says, "Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior." 1 Peter 1:15. I remind you, the word holy means separate, set apart, reserved for a special purpose. We're holy, and that means our mouth, our mind, our money, our morals all belong to God. Therefore, what you say, what you do, what you eat, what you drink, what you think should always be for the glory of God. Holiness is not just eternal, and it's not just internal. It's also external. 648 commands in the Bible, every one of them can be summarized in just two words: be holy. Holiness is not an option, it's an obligation. It's not a choice, it's a command. We've seen plainly that God not only desires for his children to walk in holiness, he demands it. Here's the truth. His people will walk in holiness. I told you that you can't have sanctification without salvation, but I also tell you, you can't have true salvation. It's always followed by sanctification. The greatest need that children have today is to see their parents walking in holiness. The greatest need that congregations have today is to see their pastors walking in holiness. It's been said that no congregation rises higher than its pastors. The greatest need that the world has today is to see the church walking in holiness. The incentive for holiness is found in verse 14. As obedient children, we're to be holy. Three reasons people obey others. Slaves obey because they have to obey their master. Employees have to obey their boss. A son wants to obey his father. Two kinds of children in the world: God's children and the devil's children. There are children of obedience and children of disobedience. And a true child of God will act like his father, like son. The world will know we are Christians, not because we claim to be, but we aim to be. There was a Jewish couple who had their first baby boy. They were arguing about what to name the child. Got to the place where they called the rabbi to come in. The rabbi said, "What's the problem?" The wife said, "He wants to name the boy after his father. I want to name the boy after my father." Rabbi said to the man, "What's your father's name?" He said, "Joseph." He said to the wife, "What's your father's name?" She said, "Joseph." The rabbi was stunned. He said, "What's the problem?" The wife spoke up again and said, "His father was a horse thief, and my father was a righteous man, so how can I know my son is named after my father and not his father?" The rabbi thought for a moment and said, "Call the boy Joseph, and then see if he's a horse thief or a righteous man, and you'll know whose father he was named after." Rabbi, some rabbis are really smart. If you believe in a God who is holy, you will behave like the God who is holy. We live what we believe because belief always determines behavior. The rest is just religious talk. We're in a war. I'm not talking about the war with Iraq or Afghanistan. I'm talking about the war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And once you enter into war, you'd better go into it with the best equipment and the will to win. That's why this following story makes a good point. During World War II, the Japanese had 25 aircraft carriers. We sank 20 of them. The other five were damaged. There was a turning point in the war. All right, just leave your notes and tell the story, Keith. In the Battle of Midway, we sank four carriers. We had dive bombers that dropped bombs on the aircraft carriers' decks, and the bombs went through the decks and exploded down below and made a terrible mess. We had torpedo bombers. President Bush flew a torpedo bomber. They'd come in low on the water, full throttle. You don't care if the motor blows up as long as you can get that torpedo to that ship. We sank four of their aircraft carriers that day. Japanese, realizing they had a problem, they took one of their biggest battleships that was still in construction and turned it into an aircraft carrier. And it said that the flight deck had steel that was 12 inches thick. Okay, Yankees, drop a bomb through that, will you? When the Shinano got underway, the full load of fuel and planes and all the provisions, ammunition to enter into the fight, that was the 29th day of November, 1944, her maiden voyage. She'd only been underway for 2 hours at sea when the USS Archerfish from a quarter mile away fired a fan of six torpedoes. Only one torpedo hit the Shinano. The captain of the Shinano, in his Japanese pride in this huge new ship, said, "That's like a mosquito running into a tree. Not a big problem for this magnificent Japanese aircraft carrier." So he continued on his course, same speed, same course for the next 8 hours, not realizing that torpedo had penetrated the hull below the waterline and he was taking on water. The vessel had watertight doors, but none of those Japanese sailors wanted to do something unless they were told to by an officer, and no officer ever told them to close the watertight doors. So the Shinano filled one compartment at a time and floated into the next and filled for 8 hours that huge ship 14,000 tons bigger than anything the U.S. Navy had. For 8 hours it took on water until finally it was overcome and sank, never having fired a shot, never having launched a plane. When it sank, it took most of its crew to its death, only because it never closed the watertight doors. Holiness is to a Christian what watertight integrity is to a ship. Essential. The goal of a warship is not just to keep water out of its hull. The purpose is to get into the war and to fight. And victory in the Christian life does not go to the powerful, does not go to the prosperous, doesn't go to the popular. Victory in the Christian life goes to the pure in heart. We're living in a world that doesn't need weekend warriors. It needs soldiers that 24/7 are holy, walking in holiness. Hear the call, heed the command of a God who says, without apology, you be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Remember that people rejected the Susan B. Anthony dollar because it didn't look like a dollar. And folks will reject your Christian witness for the same reason. If you don't present to the world a true reflection of the God who loves you so much that he died on the cross in your place. I close with Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Let's close in prayer. Father, in awe and wonder, we reflect on your holiness. Humbly, we realize that through no effort of our own, you've called us into your heart. Lord, I ask for this unique gathering this morning that each of us this week will reflect upon your call and your command, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And I ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. Thanks again for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandibiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. As a reminder for your listening convenience, you can also catch Scandi Bible Church podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, and on Google Play. Scandi Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsville, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandi Bible Church, may God richly bless you.